introduce our main speaker for the evening, Janine from San Diego.
Hi, I'm Janine. I'm an alcoholic. I had to have my own book up here with me. It's like my little security blanket. Probably the most important thing I can say up here is that my name is Janine and I'm an alcoholic, because for me that's just not a normal thing. I haven't had a drink since November 18th, 1978. And for that, I'm really, truly grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was, I'm no longer married to their father. They are spending the weekend with me this weekend, and my daughter is home from college, and my kids were all sitting around. My niece is here from Australia, and she made this big feast for us, and we're sitting around, and my son says to me, "What are you going to say?" Good question, kiddos. You know what I mean? It's like, they have never seen me drink. I had my first drink, and you know, this is the first time I ever told this to my kids, was tonight. I had my first drink when I was 14 years old. My youngest is going to be 14 next month. And I look at them and I say, this is not a thing I want you to think is okay for you to do, but this is what my path was. I had my first drink at 14 years old. I was at a slumber party with 8 girls. We were way out in the country. I remember getting so drunk and blacking out. Now, so the first time I ever drank, I blacked out. And so I thought that was just really normal. I didn't realize that people that aren't alcoholics don't drink like that. They don't, like, just wake up the next day and have just voids of what was happening the night before. That was the start of my career. And so when I was in high school, every chance I got, I drank. And it's really a very boring story. I was, you know, trying to be a good girl. I went to church. I got involved with the church group. Those places were great places to party, let me tell you. In my life, that was the best place to find a good time. And so have these little voids of thought. It's not Alzheimer's, really. Really quite that old yet, okay? On my way over here tonight, I did that prayer that we learn in the big book, God, I offer myself to be, to build with me and do with me as you wish. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And I always have to add after that, thy will, not mine. That's how I spent my drive over here tonight. And very anxious about doing this. I don't speak very often.
Hi, Kathy.
So glad to see a friendly face out there. When I drank alcoholically from the beginning. And every chance I had to drink, I drank after that. When I was 15 years old, I think my father got sober. And we lived in Minnesota at the time. And when he took a 3-month chip, you know how we all are when we get in here and we have 3 months, we just think it's the big cat's meow, okay? Which it is for us. But my dad made all of us. 5 of us kids, okay, middle child, okay, that's why I'm an alcoholic. And my dad dragged us all to this big, huge meeting like this in this little dumpy little church basement so he could take a 3-month chip, okay, or 30-day or whatever it was. And I can remember being in that room and being a kid. And everybody else that was in there, most of the alcoholics at the meeting were men, and the Al-Anons, of course, were women, and they were old. I mean, they were, my dad was 40, for God's sake, at the time. That was ancient, okay? Really, 13 years younger than I am now, okay? And so, so I just thought, oh my God, this is a horrible place to have to be. So when, as I progressed in my drinking and I realized that my choices were this, AA, those gross old men, like my dad, okay? Or over here, the party scene, hoorah, rah, blackouts, but you know, that's just part of life, okay? This or this, okay? This went out for quite a long time. And, and then I started going with my mother to Al-Anon, because first she sent me to Alateen, okay? Like, what our parents do for us. It's amazing. They don't even know. So I started off in Alateen because I was a very troubled child, okay? When I finally got sober, my mother said to me, you know, I knew you had problems, but it never occurred to me that alcohol was a cause. I'm like, hello, black belt Al-Anon, why would you think alcohol was a problem for me, okay? So I did that one AA meeting, and then I did some Alateen, and then I did some, I graduated to Al-Anon, because when I turned 18, I didn't have to go to Alateen anymore. My mom let me go to Al-Anon with her. Man, oh man, that place was great, because you learned so many justifiers as an alcoholic. I am not kidding you. And they would sit there and they'd talk about character defects, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with that stuff? You know what I mean? I can remember sitting in this Al-Anon meeting with my mom going, I don't see what's so wrong with that stuff. You know what I mean? The alcoholic thinking, you know, that gets us here. It's like, oh, it's not bad enough for me, or oh, this or oh, that. So I did not have a really cool, fun story like you have, okay? Mine was boring and ho-hum. I mean, you know, I drank, blacked out, passed out, threw up usually, ended up in bed with somebody most of the time, you know, if I could make it that far. And so, you know, I'm not proud of that part of my story, but that's where I came from, okay? Did not go to jail, you know, no big, like, exciting stuff in my story. Just kind of a dumb girl drunk sort of a thing. Blonde, okay? And then I was going to college. And so I can remember, like, my dad owned a newspaper, so I worked for his newspaper, and I was kind of, you know, young kid, but kind of a hot shit, because everybody in town knew me, and I knew them, and all the cops, and all the businessmen, and I mean, I just was around everywhere because I worked for him when I worked. And so, when I started this little community college up there, and one semester, I just decided that it was overwhelming to me. So because I knew the dean, like on a first name basis, he was pals with my dad. They'd have coffee together all the time. I just went to his office and I'm like, Ralph, I need withdrawals or incompletes or whatever for this semester. And he's like, well, what for? And I said, well, it's really simple, Ralph. I'm an alcoholic, and, you know, I just can't finish, okay? I'm an alcoholic. And he just looked at me and he goes, well, if you're an alcoholic, go do what alcoholics do to not be like that anymore. And I'm like, well, you know, I knew enough from Al-Anon to know I could kind of manipulate my way around the story. So that's what I did, and I didn't get what I wanted, but I felt okay about it because I tried. And I ended up basically dropping out, you know, just like not ever finishing. My dad ended up having a heart attack when we lived there, and then that whole newspaper that he owned and all that just went away. So then I was kind of on my own. My parents left town. They bought an RV. They decided to live their dream. It's like, well, what about me? You know what I mean? I was, you know, 22 years old, I was still living at home, you know, not paying rent, not really doing anything but partying with my friends every night. And so when they left, I moved down to Minneapolis. And that is where my drinking really hit a big, huge peak. And my sister, who was then married, was putting her husband through an intervention. She wanted my help, and of course, what could I do but help her? So he and I would smoke these, like, funny cigarettes, huge ones. He was really good at making big ones. He and I would smoke these funny cigarettes at night, and then the next morning I'd get up with her and I'd go to these classes for her to put him through, you know what I mean? Like, get sober or get out, buddy, you know? And so I was playing both ends of it. It was sick. And so, I know you don't want to just end up with your story not told, do you? He never got sober, and to this day he is not sober. But when I went to those intervention classes with my sister, I heard this woman talking. And what she said was, she talked about what they talk about in this book, only she didn't say it like this. What she said is, there are stages of alcoholism. And there are different types of alcoholic. And so she said, the kind of alcoholic I am is this. And I so related to this woman, I just was like this big, huge flash of God or something, you know? She said, when I'm invited out for dinner, I say, okay, fine, I'll go. And then if I have another set of friends that calls me up and invites me out for dinner and I know they're going to be drinking, cancel. Go with these. I'm like, wow, somebody else does that too, you know? She said, I had never been out to dinner without drinking in forever, and I just thought, that is so weird, and I just knew that that was my story. I mean, I had been vacillating with, you know, I had some pretty sick situations happen with my drinking, so I was kind of not having so much fun all the time anymore. Couldn't really keep maintain or even really get a job because I wasn't really willing to work beneath myself, which whatever that was, okay? It was my cool, clear alcoholic thinking, like, oh, I won't do, you want me to make coffee? Oh, no, 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 I don't do that kind of work. And so I was having a hard time keeping, maintaining, and getting a job. And I went to this and I just thought, how weird is that? And then I went up to this woman after and I said, I think I'm an alcoholic. And she goes, well, let me get you into this program. Or I'm like, oh, no, 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 you know. I can't go till, you know, I've had a few days of sobriety first, you know, because I didn't want to cold turkey it. And I never had a drink after that. And I didn't go to my first meeting. I had a brother-in-law at the time who was sober. I didn't go to my first meeting for, like, maybe a week. But my sisters were calling me all the time, so how's it going? Did you drink today? And I'm thinking, they're talking to me like I'm some lush, you know, which I was, but I didn't see myself that way. And so I went to this first meeting, and it was in Minnesota. Tom and I were talking about this earlier. It was in Minnesota, and I went into this church meeting, and my sister and I and my brother-in-law would go together every Friday night when I'd go visit them. He would go to AA, and she and I would go to Al-Anon because we were the codependence, okay? And so we're walking into the church, and he's like 6'4", and he looks down at me, and he goes, are you going to AA, or are you going to go to the Al-Anon meeting? And I don't know where it came from inside me, but I just looked at him, and I said, I'm going to AA tonight. And so we went into this meeting, and they got a little group together. They called it an orientation group. Never seen it before. I've never seen it since. But so eight of us, like people volunteered from the group, and we went into a small group. And so then they could just tell me their brief little stories. This is how AA has helped me. This is what I've learned from AA. I found friends like I never thought possible, this one woman said. And I thought, well, you know, you can probably say that, but you don't know me. It would never happen like that for me. That could never happen for me. And, you know, I think about that, and I think about when I was new and how really I really didn't believe that this, we, could do that for me. You know, I thought it was okay out there, and I thought for my brother-in-law, you know, they'd have all their AA friends over on Friday nights, and they'd play cards, and they'd laugh and yuck it up and no drinking, and they had a great time, and I thought that was so cool, but I really knew deep down inside me that it wasn't possible for me. But, you know, I didn't really know what the magic was here, you know, right here. So, that was my first meeting. And from that day until this, I have not found it necessary to take a drink. And if that is the only thing anybody hears from me tonight, that is what you can hear, is that you can come into these rooms and you can never, ever, ever have to take a drink one day at a time. And it doesn't mean that I haven't wanted to. It doesn't mean that I haven't smoked, not smoked. All it means is that when you come in here, if you just buckle up for as long as you have to, as white knuckling as you have to do, because I had to do that for a very long time here, you don't have to ever drink again. And I promise you, like this book promises us, that your life will change and it will get better and you will have a life eventually. So, there I am. I'm sober, happy. No. Woohoo! Can't wait to get to those AA meetings. No. When I first got here, there were a few women that got sober that were about my age. I was 23 years old. Not many, you know, there was a young people's convention a few years after that, but most of the alcoholics were like, you know, we are. There's a few, not really that many really young people in here, but, you know, we're young at heart, aren't we? And so this is what AA looked like when I got here. And it was really hard. So the few of us that were sober, that were young, like we do here, we just find our peers and we hang with them. And so we would go to meetings. And then I went into a halfway house for alcoholic women, and I stayed there for 3 months. And then we rented a house together, these five women, alcoholics and myself, and it was this huge house, and we had so much fun, and we would like do meetings all the time. And what I learned in the beginning here was 90 meetings in 90 days profoundly works for us, no matter what. If you're new, if you're not new and you're going through struggles and hard times, if you're pissed off at the world, if your ex is the biggest dick on the planet, it doesn't matter. Can I say that? Oh, well, I did. Okay. So it's like, here's the thing. Whenever my life has gotten to where I felt like it was hard, okay, I did more meetings. Because I learned in the beginning that I went to a meeting every single day if I had to. On the weekends, my girlfriends and I, that was like what we did. We were sober alcoholics. We weren't going clubbing because they told us in that halfway house that that was a slippery place. And I'll tell you, I believe them because I just can't see going to a bar and picking up someone or dancing. I don't know. I just, it's not a thing I do. So I just don't go to slippery places, okay? And I go to meetings when life gets difficult and when it doesn't. And I don't go to a lot of meetings now. Maybe you can tell by how I share, okay? But here's the thing. I have rationalizers for that, okay? First 5 years of my sobriety, I was at least 7 meetings a week, okay, and probably up until 7 or 8 years. When I had my first child, I was 9 years sober. I got married when I was 4 or 5 years sober. So when I had my kid, when I only had one, you know, having one kid is kind of a breeze here in AA because you can, like, bundle that thing up and bring it wherever you want to go. But, you know, the more you add to it, just think about this when you start popping them out, okay? The more you have, the more arms you need to bundle them up with you when you got to go to meetings. So it became more and more difficult for me, and I didn't really have a lot of support at home. So I started going to less and less meetings, but what happened to me was that I ended up getting more and more phone support in AA. I'd go to meetings, I'd meet people, I'd get their numbers. I would sponsor a lot of people, and so when I was only going to one or two meetings a week, I was talking to somebody every single day when I was a new mom. It was a really cool thing. How long do I go? Okay. So, can't really chug a lug up here, you know. It doesn't look very ladylike. 90 meetings in 90 days. 5 meetings a week. When things are bad, thinking about this on the way over here. Things are bad, you go to a meeting. When things are good, you go to a meeting. And you go to a meeting any other time, you know what I mean? And that's a really cool thing because that's how you get it. Can I just offer some opinions here? Here's other things that I think about that I learned in the beginning of sobriety. You suit up and dress up, okay? This is a thing I teach my children all the time. If you think for 1 minute you're walking outside in your pajama bottoms, you're getting locked in, kid. Okay? We do not wear our pajama bottoms to the market to get a drink. We do not wear our pajama bottoms to church. We don't wear them to school. We don't wear them to go for a walk around the block. We put our clothes on that we wear outside. We don't wear our jammies. My daughter told me yesterday, some mom went to pick up her kid yesterday at school, or Friday or whatever. She had her pajama bottoms on with a little tankini thing and slippers. I'm like, oh my God, fire her from parenthood. How embarrassing for the kid to have your kid, your mom show up in her slippers in the middle of the day. I'm sorry. There's certain things that I feel really opinionated about. That is one of them, okay? You don't have to wear dresses to AA meetings anymore. I just don't like pajama bottoms in public. Okay, should we have a showing of hands? Who else thinks it's tacky, okay? Thank you very much. Everybody raise their hands. I want it shown on the tape, okay? So I have had some very difficult times in sobriety. I remember within a week of my 5th birthday, I wanted to drink so bad because my life felt insane, okay? I was married, I was so depressed, and I just could not see any relief but having a drink. And you know, when you go to 90 meetings in 90 days or 5 or 7 meetings a week for the first 5 years, when you get to a situation where you can't see any other choice but to have a drink to get some relief from the life in general, that stuff that you heard for those 5 years, 5 to 7 meetings a week, just kind of pops out at you like, oh, so if you have a drink, let's think through that drink if you're going to have a drink. So that's the kind of shit that happens to me when I think about drinking, which hasn't happened in kind of a long time. Okay? If you want to have a drink, what's going to happen? Well, okay, one isn't enough for one thing. There's no such thing as one for me. So when I get done having as much as I possibly can consume and I'm passed out, blacked out, and in just bad, okay? We'll just call it bad. We all know what it's like. We've all been there, okay? Then I wake up the next morning and is it over? Is it better? Do I feel better? Is there some relief? No, because the next day, see, I learned this when I was new. It's like the next day, it's not really better. It's worse because now all that stuff that was there yesterday, it's all still there, only now it's worse because now I'm hungover, I'm ashamed, I'm all that stuff that goes with whatever is going to happen when you have a drink, okay? So I never... That stuff would hit me when I'd think I maybe needed a little bit of relief, okay? I never was really into the other aspects of chemicals, okay? Really liked the alcohol, loved alcohol, loved what it did to me. Like you said, you take that, it's like this. Yes. Okay? So... So that stuff that I learned when I was new and I went to all those meetings all the time, and even though I'd be chitter-chattering with somebody over here and somebody over here was saying this, you know, it still got in, you know? Because there's a lot of times that I have been to a meeting and been very disrespectful because I thought my girlfriend had more to say than whoever else was there, you know, at a round table discussion, you know? I have a tendency to still do that, like getting up to get coffee when certain people have their turn. You know, it's kind of rude, but I still do it. It's my prerogative as a girl, I think, okay? And when I really started feeling better in my sobriety, I was living with my younger sister who was in Al-Anon. You know, the one that intervened, she intervened on her husband who'd never got sober, but she was in Al-Anon, okay? We'll call her bitch, okay? Because she is one, okay? I love her, but, you know, she just is that way. And so I was living with her because I was unemployable, unwilling, and unable to get a job, okay? And so I was mooching off her because she had a real nice, cushy job. And we would go to meetings. I would go this side to the AA, and they had Al-Anon and AA always back there in Minnesota. They had in one building, they'd have the AAs over here and the Al-Anons here so that, you know, the husband and wife could go together, and he'd go here, he, okay, and she, Al-Anon, would go over here. And we'd go to these meetings, and one day she decided she didn't want me there anymore, if you can imagine that. You know, I'm kind of a charming person. She did not want me mooching off her anymore. So I went into this halfway house, which was a huge blessing, because when I was there, I learned that I really was okay and that I really could do this and that I really didn't have to ever drink again, no matter what. Don't know how that got in, but it got in and it's there. I just know that that's not ever been an option for me. That five-year time when I wanted to drink so bad, it's probably the last time that I ever really desperately thought that a drink would give me relief. And I just had to talk it through with my AA friends. It's like, I know this is what I want to do. I'm not going to do it, but this is what I want to do. And then I had to talk about what would happen to me if I had a drink. This is what's going to happen when you have a drink. And that's how I learned it, and that's what happened. And so I had been sober probably a year. I don't think that's uncommon, at least. And when I was in this halfway house, I did my steps, okay? You have to do the steps. So when I did my fourth and fifth step, this was really cool, coming from someone who's, like, addicted to men, okay? My fourth step and fifth step I did with this priest that was the Tom Cruise of all priests, okay? Like, you want me to tell you my shit, honey? I don't think so. It really didn't work very well, but I went through the motions and I did my inventory because, you know, we don't ever only have to do one here. We do as many as we need to do on whatever we need to do it on, over and over and over again. We do them all the time. And so so when I finally moved out to California and had the sponsor, and she told me I had to do a fourth and fifth step, I'm just like, oh my God, what do you mean? She made me do it like this. Hello? This is what I feel. This is why the columns thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, that way, you know, like the way they make you. And it was a really cool thing because I had to go and then read it to her word for word, which is kind of an odd thing for someone who's like always in my family growing up. I was able to just kind of be a wallflower and not really be noticed. And so I could get by with a lot of stuff because I just kind of stayed out of the picture as much as I could. And so when my sponsor told me I had to read every single word, word for word, I just thought, really? All of this stuff? It's like, this is like my stuff, you know, that I've been just doing all this time. And I did it because she told me I had to do it, so I did it. And when I did it, she looked at me and she said, your story is not much different than mine. The names and faces are different, you know? We are alcoholics. We do stuff to get to the next level, you know? Some of us have more dramatic, really cool, thrown in jail at age 4 or whatever, you know what I mean? Really fun stories. Mine's not like that, you know? Alcoholic father, you know, blah, blah, blah. So she said, I love you. And she said, you're no different than me. I love you, no matter what. And I just never had felt that profound of an acceptance from anyone in my life after I told her all my worst, horrible things about myself. You know, and I'm sure I didn't even put it all in there, okay? Because I hadn't known her that long, okay? But it was the worst I could come up with for as long as I'd been around. And so she said, I love you no matter what. And a lot of people I have heard here in these rooms that they go do some big dramatic with a trash can, burn it, give it up. I didn't do that with her. She just said to me, you know, you are free. And I was. In the next 2 days, I could do nothing but cry. I would be driving to work, and I would be crying, and I'd be at work, and I'd call her up, and I'd be crying, and I would be crying and crying. And just then, all of a sudden, it stopped, and it was like purged. It was like a new person, you know what I mean? And that was the beginning for me, you know? And then I was able to go on to like 6 and 7 and 8. Oh, my gosh. You know that step 8? You know, made a list of all persons, okay? So she said, you know, the book tells us to make a list of those people we have resentments towards. I'm like I'm going to make amends to those people? Hello? And I did it because I was told to. And if you don't know how, she said, if you don't know how to do it, you get a piece of paper and you write at the top, my 8-step amends list. And then you just put the numbers. And then if you leave it blank for a week, that's okay. You'll get the names on there as you go. You know, and of course we learn later that when we do our things, the list is there. And I had to make amends. And when I called my parents to make amends to them, they were so clueless. And I mean, my dad had been sober for 10 years by then, and my mom was a black belt, Al-Anon. Like, you know, I just call, blah, 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 you know, however I did it, I don't really remember. But my mom's response to me was, really? I knew you had problems, but I didn't know they had anything to do with alcohol. I'm thinking, whatever, you know? Then comes to number 9. After, you know, after those steps and the amends, I had one amends. You know, it's really funny because I love this when I go to a step meeting and I get to share about this, so I'll do it now. I had this one guy that I really was really mean to, and it was kind of a bad thing. I kind of messed up him and his whole family and stuff. I did kind of a nasty thing to them, okay, which is what we do when we're out there, you know. And I wrote him a letter to make amends to him. He is now a district attorney someplace in Wisconsin, okay? He's, like, not done too bad for himself, a dope smoker, okay? So I wrote this letter of amends to him because I thought, well, if I write this letter of amends, he won't think I'm such a bad person, you know what I mean? Because I knew it ended on really bad terms, and I just didn't want him to think I was so bad. So I send him this letter of amends, and I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. Did what my sponsor told me, and he sends me a letter back, and he goes, well, you know, Janine, some of us have to kick ourselves in the pants, and I'm glad you did it to yourself. Goodbye and good luck. And I'm thinking, huh, hello? That is not what I expected. I wanted, like, this warm, fuzzy, oh, good for you. Atta girl, Janine. No, didn't happen. But, you know, yet again, one more learning experience in AA. It's like you don't know what to expect when you take the action without expecting anything, and you just accept whatever comes your way, you know. Mike said he'd yawn like this if I was getting boring. He's up there like this. I have had some incredible experiences in this place. I have these 3 kids. My oldest daughter is in college. She's got a 3.9 GPA at UC Santa Barbara. She is just like the coolest kid. My other kids are pretty cool too. My son, my 16-year-old, my little charmer, told me last night when he was leaving with his pals that he was going out to get drunk as he possibly could. And he was hoping he'd get so drunk he could throw up and start over. And I'm like, this is a thing you're telling your mother and expecting her to let you leave the house? And he's like, you know, I know you want me to be honest with you. I'm like, not that honest. You know what I mean? Don't drink and drive. Don't get in trouble. I mean, he already lost his license for doing donuts in the high school parking lot. On, you know what I mean? Well, it wasn't just the donuts, okay? He did the donuts, and then the cops were after him, and he outran the cops. That's what got him in trouble, okay? And I said to him, had you been drinking? He's like, Mom, Mom. I'm like, Jay, you outran the cops. You know, how could you do this, you know? So when he asked me tonight what I was going to say when I came here, I said, I'm going to go there and I'm going to say how my children, no matter how much I love them, they still use the F word in my house. And he just, like, looks at me mortified. And about 20 minutes later, he comes up to me and he goes, Mom, I'm really sorry I used the F word in the house. I'm like, Jay, you are such a good boy. I really love you. He's like, such a sorry I used the F word in the house. I'm thinking, yeah, you know it, honey. So, and then my youngest is, you know, my big challenge child, the 14-year-old. Really, really. The thing is that there's a lot of people that are out there. I have friends, you know, because it tells us in the book that we learn how to go out and live in the world amongst the rest of the world. So I have friends that are in AA, and I have friends that I work with that aren't, and I have friends that are, you know, I did that three-day breast cancer walk a couple years ago with these two gal pals of mine, and they had to go off the beaten path so they could get a little shot, okay? Now, I am an alcoholic and a former Girl Scout leader, okay? I am telling you, I'm like this. You can't cross when you see the red hand. They're like, oh, Jesus, Janine, just go. I'm like, no, really, you're not supposed to cross it. I'm like acting like I'm their Girl Scout leader. And then I'm like this. You're going off the path, you know, the route that keeps you safe to get a shot of liquor. Come on, we need something when we get back to our tent. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not having anything. You know what I mean? I'm not getting anything, and I'm going to be fine. But no, they each, instead of getting one, they got two because I wasn't having any, okay? Those girls slept really good that night, okay? And it was a wild and incredible experience. And that is how my sobriety has been. I would not change it for the world. And I don't know what my life would be like if I wasn't here. And I don't want to know what it would be like if I wasn't here. Because this is my home, and this is where I belong. And you are my family. And thank you for my sobriety.